Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of the Nexus. I am your ever-faithful AJ. Greetings and salutations. And look, Karen is already here. Good evening, Karen.
Hi, this.
Oh,
this is
Jamie.
Is she here too? This is Jamie.
No, I.
That's okay.
Never mind. Sorry. My brain didn't recognize the phone number. Usually, I'm pretty good with that.
Yeah, that's okay. I never remembered the two of yours when I did it. So.
And there she is.
Hi, guys.
I actually meant to use my other phone, too, so that
Hello.
Might be what they usually do.
Hello. Hi, happy podcast. Happy Fandom Access Night.
Yes.
It's so nice to talk to people, to live humans.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get to do that enough lately, huh?
I know. As I live alone, I spent another week alone in my house.
So what's? I guess Speedy isn't a very good conversationalist.
Buddy, my turtle's name is Buddy. Yeah, he's not a very good conversationalist. He's a little. Although he did make a guest appearance at Zoom Happy Hour the other night. Everybody's cats keep walking in front of the screen, so I got Buddy out so he could be on the screen for a minute. Yeah.
That's funny.
So, and my television is on constantly.
Yeah, I think everybody's in.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, I was trying to see the date of this. It's not on here. I just wanted to mention something really quick. Because some had gotten canceled, originally, I think was the reason why they started it. Wizard World is doing virtual conventions now, basically means you can see the panel for free, and they're it's like, you know, video chat. You can see it for free. You can also, for a lot of money, buy private chats and autographs, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, the first one was live today, and it's available on Twitch. I assume it's linked from there too. It was for Supernatural. They actually asked my question, so that was cool. But I just kind of want to give you guys a heads up because I hadn't mentioned it, and I should have probably mentioned on the podcast if people want to find out about them, because they are to watch the panel part completely free. So I think it's worth it, and it's something cool to do while you're, you know, waiting to be able to do other things, I guess. So
I guess it's like a virtual channel, like the talent's at their house and the moderator is at his house, and it's all like,
yeah, it's kind of like
locations.
How they did Talking Dead. I mean, it's like five or six video cameras. So.
Yeah,
but it was fun.
Yeah,
and there's a chat with it, so people can can find out about that. I want to say the other one I thought was in a couple days, but it's not listed on this page, so I have to look in my email, which I'm on the phone, so it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
But I'll find that after.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So,
before we get going, I was reading today, so if we don't mind talking about other people's sites, I was checking out TV Line today, and they have a good list of all the shows that are either interrupted production due to COVID or that are finished. So if you're worried about if your show, your favorite show is going to be on, you can check it out. I'm sure there are a lot of places to check, but TV Line has a really good list of what's on and what's not. Because I don't know if Fandom Access has a list, but sorry to promote somebody else's site without asking about Fandom Access.
I was just going to say, I did find it. It's Once Upon a Time convention, and it's April 4th. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. So that'll be online, too, Once Upon a Time convention?
Yeah. Just go to wizardworld.com, and people can find it.
Okay. Cool.
All right.
Thanks. All right, go
so
ahead.
Without further ado,
all right.
Off of your Walking Dead.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. The Walking Dead.
This episode had its odd moments that I'm not too sure about, but
I'd say so. This show had multiple storylines in this episode, and I'd say they were like 2/3 good or 3/4 good. Like, I'd say some of it was pretty good, and then it bothers me so much how they have ruined Carol and how she had another terrible storyline this week for Carol.
I feel like they kind of brought it around by the end of the episode, though. I'm hoping it's over now. But go ahead.
Yeah, maybe. She just continued to be the most selfish person and act inexplicably. And of course, it was another hallucination episode this week again. So, of course, I hated that, right?
Yeah, that part I didn't like either.
Can Alpha just be dead? Please, could Alpha just be dead? And because we're going to have to listen to her for another whole episode.
Yeah, I know. He killed her, and now we have to hear from her again. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. She's like the new Negan. And I'm like, shut up. Yeah. So, anyway.
I was going to say, I think the stuff with her head with Beta, though, him carrying it around and that was just... to me, it was more funny than anything, and I just thought it was kind of dumb. Like, some of it was interesting and kind of made sense. Like, I was surprised when he, you know, had had the head bite the one guy and everything. And but some of it, I wasn't sure if he's just totally even more insane than she was, or if he just doesn't care, or if it's just because he's mourning her. I don't know. A lot of the stuff he did was just really bizarre, and I just thought was a waste of time. I mean, I like that you got to see some of, you know, who he was, and they kind of confirmed the whole musician thing. But, but I mean, other than that, like, a lot of it was just kind of like he's carrying it around, taking it with him, until he finally kills it to take her skin, which at least made some sense, even though it's gross, at least it made some sense. But, yeah, so that part kind of annoyed me. I agree with Carol. I do have to say, though, as much as even though it was over the top as normal, I did enjoy the scenes between Daryl and Negan. I had kind of figured at the very beginning that Negan's totally full of crap and that he's, you know, just playing Daryl. But I liked that he did it. I feel like at least he finally listened to him because Daryl didn't even want to listen. And I kind of can see why he wanted him to, you know, kneel and give him a minute. But it's good to show that he, you know, that's not what he's after. So I kind of didn't mind those parts. Although I think, and honestly, though, it might have been beneficial for him to you know, tell Daryl, but then go along with it a little more because I wondered if they couldn't have killed more of them. Or, I mean, I don't think Beta would be like, you killed Alpha, you're the new leader. That I don't agree with, but I don't think he would have done that. I think he would have tried to kill Negan. But I just feel like maybe he could have infiltrated a little further. I don't know. That was kind of my thoughts on that part.
Yeah, I am. I'm of two minds about this Negan thing. Like, on the one hand, it, you know, I guess Negan's, like, redemption arc is almost complete now. He has killed Alpha, and, like, they even gave Negan the opportunity to make a little speech about how, like, you know, even though he really enjoyed being sort of, like, a high-up person in the Whispers and being listened to, that he really, turns out he really likes Alexandria and respects them because they don't, what do you say? They don't kill people who, like, don't need to be killed. They don't kill people who don't deserve it. And they don't kill kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, Negan has killed tons of people who, like, didn't necessarily deserve it. Like, Glenn and Abraham, he literally picked eeny, meeny, miny, mo to kill them. It's not like he was like, oh, this guy Glenn really needs to be killed, right?
Well, I think he did some things, to make people listen. But also, I kind of feel like that's twofold. I totally agree with you. They didn't deserve to be killed. But at the same time, we have to try to remember Rick's people came in and killed his people with no provocation. Well, I mean, and they knew they were, like, coming. But, I mean, they didn't actually do anything to them. They did it while it was in their sleep. So I can kind of understand. Hold on, my alarm's going off. 1 second. Go off. So I can kind of understand him doing that. Not that it's right, but, like, I get it. But Alpha is just kind of, like, totally insane, crazy killing for fun. And I guess his point is he doesn't like to kill somebody just to kill them. Like, there has to be a reason.
Well, I mean, Negan did always believe that people are a resource and that you need people to survive. That's for sure. I just think, like, this Negan redemption arc is a little, like, I don't know, like, I can never forget who he is and what he did, and I don't know how many viewers can either. But I was a little torn because I was on Negan's side, so to speak. Like, Carol made a deal with him, and then Carol goes back on the deal because Carol continues to be so selfish and so self-absorbed, and that she's got to, like, go off on her own or whatever. for whatever reason. And also that everyone's like mad at Negan because he didn't kill Alpha fast enough. Like, do you think it's easy to infiltrate the Whisperers and get close to her? Come on, right? Yeah.
That I thought I agree with them. But the other thing is that I kept saying too is what I think was very selfish of Carol, not even just screwing Negan over, which was not cool. I don't know why she would not go back to the group to say, hey, hey, Alpha's dead, if he wasn't going to, because, you know, that could help their side a lot because they kind of need that intel. And obviously Beta's not dead, but them knowing that can, you know, change a lot. And I just feel like I'm trying to think, how did did they already tell them, though? Because I'm thinking Judas knew, and I'm trying to remember how Judas knew or why Judas knew. But because remember she told Michonne that she was gone or whatever. So I'm
I don't know how Judas knew.
I don't remember that part. But yeah, I think that it was selfish for her to not at least go back and tell them and then leave. But she has to be on her own. I'm just hoping that now by her going back to the group or her almost dying, all that crap, that it's over. Because I agree, I'm getting so sick of this weak Carol crap. Carol, everybody liked Carol because Carol was a badass. If Carol's not a badass, then she's not a good character. So,
yeah.
I mean,
and
yes,
sometimes
there can be depth in it, but the way they've been doing it doesn't work that way.
Remember when they made Carol be like, oh, I can't live inside the kingdom or Alexandria. I'm going to live in this little house by myself because I have to I want to be, like, pulling her Greta Garbo routine that she has to be alone or whatever, you know, all the time. For years now, every time that chips are down, Carol's like, oh, I have to be alone. I'm on my own. And I'm so sick of her, right? And, I mean, I think if the storyline had a little potential, it's a little late. Like, you know, we saw Alpha tormenting Carol and reminding Carol of, like, everyone Carol has ever loved is dead, right? Which is horrible.
Yeah.
Although it's pretty much everyone in the entire apocalypse that is true of. But there are a lot of dead children in Carol's backstory.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of sad, but yeah.
I saw an article where, or was it a comment, I guess, somewhere that someone suggested, like, it's basically Carol's inner voice, and would it have been cooler or interesting to have Carol talking to Carol instead of Alpha talking to Carol, because we're all fucking sick. I'm sorry. We're all effing sick of
of
Alpha, right?
Yeah.
Because she's another, like, villain who won't shut up.
Well, hopefully now that she's back in the place, there won't be any more of that. We can hope.
Yeah. So I do wonder if Daryl can ever really be friends with her again after everything she's done. Like, he won't ever, like, hate her or kick her out, but I don't know if they can ever go back to being the way they were.
I think they can. I mean, I think that it would take a long time, and I don't think they're going to be exactly the way they were. But I also think Connie's alive, because I think it's really naive to think she's not. We kind of discussed that. So, yeah, that's my two cents. And then we have the other side with Eugene and them going to look for Stephanie. I was very upset they killed the horse. That's all I got to say. But we get a new character. I don't know anything about her because I don't read the comics. But Princess of Pittsburgh, I guess she is in the comics.
They introduced Princess this week, AJ. So that's a comic book character who they meet in Pittsburgh. I don't know if she's actually in Pittsburgh because after I saw it, I was thinking about it,
Pittsburgh.
And I was like, well, they were on their way to Charlestown, West Virginia.
Yeah, I know.
And Pittsburgh is not anywhere on the way from Alexandria, Virginia, to Charlestown, West Virginia. And I actually looked on a map. And there's no, like, so either in the comic book, they're going to Ohio. And they meet her on the way to Ohio. So I don't know what is going to happen with the Stephanie person that might be different from the comic book because... well, who knows if this Stephanie person is even in Charlestown, West Virginia. Like, you know, we don't know anything about her or why she should be trusted. But Princess is a character in the comic book, and I don't want to, like, say anything to, like, really about what happens with her. But as we move into – it's a signal that they're moving into the next big story arc at the Whisperer's End, and they move into the next big chunk of story from the comics. She plays a part in that.
I'm curious, though, why she's dressing these people up. I mean, it was kind of funny, but at least I'm assuming she is. It's possible they just were dressed up for something and died, but I got the opinion because she was so weird that she set them up that way. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, she's a very flamboyant person, and when in the comic book when they meet her, she hasn't spoken, she hasn't seen another human being in a year. She's been alone with no humans for an entire year. So she's perhaps really bored. She's been social distancing for a year in the comic book.
Unfortunately, I found out I shouldn't be reading Entertainment Weekly recaps, apparently, because they told what she was in the comics and how that goes down. So,
they spoil everything,
recap, but, I mean, I don't really care, but I'm just saying it because other people might care.
So I enjoyed that story a bit. I mean, there's always, like, things that I could, you know, like, I don't know why Eugene hasn't learned how to talk like a normal human in all this time, but I like that they are going out and doing something, right? Like, we have talked a lot about how we're sick of every season being the next big people they're going to war against, and, like, to have them go out into the world and meet new people and see new things is something that I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that I would like to see, right?
Mm-hmm. So we have one more episode left right now.
Yeah.
And then we have to wait.
And then we have to wait until they can finish the last episode, yeah. So, we'll see what happens next week. I do think, before we end this, I get a bad feeling about Ezekiel, didn't you, this week? His goodbye to Jerry just felt very much like the character's like final goodbye, didn't it?
Yeah,
like when Ezekiel said goodbye to Jerry, he said it as though, I mean, Ezekiel doesn't expect to see Jerry again because Ezekiel knows that he's got really bad cancer. And it was funny, I felt like Ezekiel fought great in the war against the big battle against the Whisperers, which was probably like 2 or 3 days ago in Showtime. He fought really well. And now in this episode, he's really weak and almost gets killed by walkers. His cancer, like, really came on him now. So he might die. He might die.
Yeah.
I don't think Princess is an oncologist, so we'll see.
Yeah, I kind of doubt that. Yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, let's unless you have something else, maybe we should move on.
No, let's move on.
Westworld. Yeah.
Westworld. Jamie, you go first because you have feelings, I know.
Yeah, no, Dolores. I was gonna say, after watching the first two episodes, I like the first two better than the first one better than the second. I can't talk tonight. The second one better than the first one. I think this one kind of, for me, came somewhere in between the two because I would still rather see the Westworld side. Obviously, pretty much the whole thing is about Hale or, you know, Hale's body, however you want to say it, and her pretending to be – hold on, sorry.
Well, Hale is pretending to be Hale. Whoever's inside that robot is masquerading as Lucy Hale. I mean, Charlotte Hale, not Lucy.
Yeah, and then what we find out, Dolores is trying to kind of teach her how to be human and that, but what we find out at the end, I think kind of the most important piece to take from this is that Serac, the guy that was from the last episode, is the one that's slowly been buying out Delos. So that's the one they're worried about. But then you find out that Hale was the spy. So the whole time when she was taking out data and trying to get taken out of the park, it wasn't actually for Delos like they kind of made you think that it was, you know, for him that she was the spy. So I found that kind of interesting. I think that she, the actress, and I should know her name offhand, and I'm thinking, I know her name. What is her name?
Tessa Thompson?
Tessa Thompson,
you talking about?
Plays Charlotte. I think she did really, really good in this episode because in the beginning, kind of playing the, like, trying to be human, I think was really good, but then she also played scary, I think. And I mean scary in the sense, like, when she sort of attacked that guy. She did attack that guy. But I think that she was, like, really good in the episode. And I know we probably all have theories. I was saying in the text line or the text earlier, some people have theorized that Dolores and Wyatt have potentially, I mean, I don't know, been split. I kind of wonder if the person inside the ball, the Hale, is potentially Wyatt, because I think that we've been supposed to think that the Dolores we're seeing is the main Dolores is per se Wyatt, and some people think maybe, you know, Dolores, and I say sort of, I guess, the Dolores version of Wyatt, not like, you know, completely Wyatt, but a lot of people think that's who she's been. But I feel like as much as she has been killing people and doing things she needs to do, she doesn't kill, and I already forgot his name, Adrian Paul. She doesn't kill his character. She seems to have some humanity and brains. And I kind of feel like she's not the same as what we saw in the end of season two. So I kind of feel like maybe she's the real Dolores, and that it's possible that Wyatt is in Hale, because there is a comment where she says something like, I am a predator. And whereas it could technically be Teddy, because I know that's, I think you're seeing a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that at the end of last season, she turned his anger or whatever you want to call it up, I still can't see him saying, you know, I'm this horrible predator, because when he said it or she said it, whatever, didn't sound enthused or didn't sound, you know, sad about it. Like, she was just like, this is who I am. So I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's not Teddy for that reason. Now you go. One of you go.
Go for it, Karen.
AJ. Okay. Bye. I really liked this episode a lot, but for me, I did enjoy seeing the struggle of the robot who's inside the Hale body, whoever that is. We're just going to have to call her Hale for now on. To see Hale struggle with, like, being, like, I think her acting was intense also, like, when she wakes up and looks in the mirror and Dolores is like, remember who you are, and, I think she was really good. But for me, the episode was really made by that moment when the whole part with Dolores and Caleb, and when she describes to Caleb and she's explaining everything to him, and basically, like, is he really any different than a robot? Like, all the humans now also have predetermined storylines and loops that they can't get out of, right? And like the Rehoboam has totally determined Caleb's life and he can't get out of it. And it was like just like mind blowing to be like, wow, he's in a loop, right? I mean, he could be a robot still. I'm not 100% convinced that he's not a robot.
I kind of wondered that this world might be, or at least I kind of wondered if maybe they're humans, but they're humans in robots' bodies, and this is like further in the future after they've perfected what they were trying to do. I don't know. That was just my random thought I had when I was watching.
He was shot in the head when he was in the military, and he has an implant in his mouth.
Yeah.
So I think that he could be
wondered if maybe he was a robot for that reason.
At any rate, for me, that whole bit when Dolores is describing it to him and, like, he has this realization, it's kind of like the moment when the robots become sentient, and I love that. But I also really loved how Dolores is having to have her whole idea about humans changed. Like, sort of, she's like the man in black now when William first was getting to know Dolores and thinking she's different. And, like, I feel like Caleb, like Dolores thinks, the only thing she knows about humans are the people she saw in the park were a bunch of really shitty people who came there to, like, shoot robots. And she, like, met a human who's nice,
she's
and it's like her mind is blown by it. So I just loved that whole part of the episode. I thought, like, that's really what this show is about, right? Free will and predestination and all that. So, AJ. Bring it, AJ.
I don't think, I think, you know, Caleb just has some tech in him because of getting shot. I don't think he's an AI because we can't go there. You know what I mean? Like, this has got to be the real world. You know, that's kind of the point of Dolores' quest, but it turns out that there's other AIs out in the world. It's just, you know, for me at least, that kind of diminishes the whole point of things here. As far as who the heck is in Hale, I have no idea. I mean, there's not a lot of people to choose from. I mean, I was thinking, you know, I'm racking my brain thinking about it, you know, and she makes a comment when they're in Hale's room and, you know, she says something like, you're the most, you know me better than anybody and I belong, you know, you belong to me and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm just like, well, the only one that I could see her having that type of conversation with is Teddy. She let Teddy go. I mean, she turned Teddy into something that wasn't Teddy, you know, it was, it was unrecognizable when she changed his settings, and he wasn't Teddy anymore. And even, you know, with this whole thing with her setting Hale up to do, you know, to do what, to take over Delos, you know, she's kind of in a way doing exactly what they all did in the first place, which is she's kind of like telling her what to do. And I don't feel like it's free will. She doesn't even know who or he or she or whatever is. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, Dolores is like, I need your help taking people down. Like, she didn't give this person a choice and say, here's the deal. This is Dolores' mission, and she's taking it upon herself
to put
somebody else in that position. Like I said, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I can't really think of anybody else it can be. I like the Wyatt idea, kind of, being that Wyatt technically is a different persona of Dolores's, so that's possible, I guess. I just, you know, I don't know where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, it may not be that. It just came to me when I was watching it, so I have no idea.
It's not a bad theory.
I mean, that's what's good about the true, but that's what's good about the show, though, because you don't know, and then they do something that completely surprises you, at least we hope. That's kind of the point. The only other thing I want to ask you guys,
Go ahead.
I want to ask you something. This has to do with last season. I was kind of thinking over it and trying to, I don't know, wrap my head around it. And I think I get it, but I just, they made it really confusing. Last season, there was the whole point that they flew up the cradle. And I guess Dolores had told him before. I didn't know when it was, but there's a quote in here, and it was from then, when she said that, which is real, it's irreplaceable. And it was my kind of understanding that part of the reason why they blew up the cradle was so they were, I don't want to say mortal, but they couldn't just keep being brought back and back, you know, over and over again. So it gave them, like, oh, my alarm again. I don't want to stop to completely unset it. It keeps going off. But it was so they kind of had, you know, I can't think of the right word, but like a finite life, I guess, that they couldn't keep going back. That was kind of how I understood it. But obviously they technically can, because they did. But I guess the point is that it's just their backups are gone. So everybody else is gone. But she does, you know, if they have a ball that's, quote unquote, alive, it's still in one piece, then they're okay. It's just they can't be completely brought back online from a new ball, I guess. Is that kind of how you guys take it? Does that even make sense, what I said?
I think she blew it up. That was where all the stories were backed up there, right? That was all the backups of all the pearls. So no one can recreate those entire stories and histories. Although all those histories and backups, like, I don't know. I'm having trouble separating that and keeping my eye on the data that Dolores beamed to an unknown location that I'm not sure if it went into Rehoboam or not. But all of the data that was in those books that Dolores was reading when she was like inside the mind of the cradle or whatever, right? Like all the customer data, all the guest data, like Charlotte was trying to beam to Delos, to the wherever, right, to the sky we know now, and Dolores sent it someplace else, and we don't know where.
Right.
And so sometimes I get confused trying to separate that data, which is the guest data, from the cradle, which was the host data, and which people want and why.
Yeah.
Hard for me to keep my eye on that ball.
That reminds me of the other thing that I had wanted to say, and I had said this to you in text, but that I just kind of watching it, all of a sudden have this weird thought, and again, it's just kind of an off left field thought, but I just kept thinking how, like, some of them went to whatever they called it, the Great Beyond. I forget exactly what they called it, if that's right. But when they walked off, I was thinking it would be interesting if they went somewhere rather than they just, you know, died and went up to their robot heaven or whatever, and that they could come back later. But what I was just thinking would be weird is, what if, like, that was the way they could, like, exit the park or something, and they could even show up in the real world. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's an interesting thought. Sorry, go ahead.
It's not a bad thought.
Put that out there.
No, sorry, it's not a bad thought, because that's, I wouldn't think of it as them being dead or whatever. Because remember when Dolores went into the cradle and, you know, it's basically just a virtual world, kind of what we saw with Maeve to begin the season. That's what the Great Beyond or whatever the heck they called it was. But they don't know how to access it because Dolores blew up the cradle. They could totally
show up.
Show up, you know, but only if Dolores is the one activating it, because nobody else knows how to get to it, which is
maybe.
Why they were questioning Maeve.
I just wonder where they went to, you know. But yeah, that's true too.
Think of
well,
it
I
as
mean,
a
they went to a meetup.
They
went into a made-up world like where Maeve went, where they think they're living out their lives, but it, you know, they're not. It's just the program running.
Did they say that specifically, though, or is that just what they thought?
Yes.
Because I thought that was just what the robots thought it was. Okay. Well,
no, the robots thought
they
were really going through a literal door into a new world that was the real world. But really, they all fell over and died down the cliff, but their brain, their program went into this virtual like construct where the program continues to play out, and they think they're like living these lives, but they're just the computer code, not the body of the robot, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess so. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And
no one knows where Dolores sent it.
Right.
And they want it. So I have been, I kind of need to watch the episode again. Like I really want to watch all of it again, because I am trying to figure out I'm fairly certain we're watching different time frames, different timelines, because the past two episodes, right? It's got to be. The past two seasons were loaded with multiple timelines that you couldn't figure out until later. And like, I feel like that is Westworld's thing, and we must be watching like maybe Bernard looking for Dolores is on a different, like, we haven't seen anything about like Bernard, how Bernard came to be and why Dolores created Bernard and how they had a falling out or whatever, right?
Why did it have red on it was my other question. Sorry.
I don't know who that is. That's a special one. I don't know who that is. But we don't know really. Could Bernard, what was with Bernard, be at a different time, or could what we're seeing with Dolores be at a different time, different things going on with, like, I gotta watch it more closely. And you know how with Bernard it was signaled very clearly by his clothing, and once you figured out Bernard's suit and which suit he was wearing with which people, you could kind of piece together the timeline with Bernard. And it probably, you know, people online are watching Caleb's clothes very closely, but it's a little different because, like, he arguably is a human being who changes his clothes more than like a robot who only has two outfits that they change into, right?
Right.
For the entirety of the beach storyline, Bernard wore one suit, right? And then when he was Arnold, flashbacks, he's wearing a different suit. But you had to piece it together. So AJ, first AJ, then Jamie. I mean, have you guys been thinking of that? Have you guys been looking for that? Any clues?
I kind of have.
I hadn't even thought about
that,
to be honest.
I have. I thought, especially this episode, there was a point when I was like, wait, where are these timelines? Because the thing that I caught was Dolores' hair when Hale was trying to get a hold of her, and she was like, that's it, I'm coming. She's like, I'm coming to you. Her hair is what caught me when she sat down and was like, I'm here. It's not shorter, but she's got it in that difference. I mean, she's had it in that style when she was with that other guy too. But there was something about it that kind of triggered the question of what the timeline here is.
Yeah,
and
it might
I think
have been
they're
trying to tell
you
when
again.
It happened.
I don't
it
know,
was after he
you know,
died.
I feel like
I don't know.
I feel like the Hale storyline is. I don't think. Serac, I don't think he's talked to Maeve yet. Like, I don't know. Like, it's no, but see, it's the whole thing's screwy because there is a scene. No, actually, that's not true because she gets the information that Maeve's ball's been stolen.
Yeah,
that's true.
Although it could have been
Something screwy, but they're not telling us yet.
The Hale storyline has to be very soon after they came out of Westworld, because Hale would be missing. She'd need to be seen right away, right? Like, Hale gets away. Dolores clearly impersonated Hale for some degree of time before she was able to make a Dolores robot and inhabit it, right? So she must have come off that island and assumed Hale's life right away, and then at some point
switch.
And that reminds me, the biggest clue to me that I thought Caleb was a robot was because Hale's son immediately knows that you're not my mommy. He knows because of different things, right? And we see Caleb's mother in the Alzheimer's ward or whatever. She says, "You're not my son. I want my son." And I was like, "Oh, is it because she's Alzheimer's, or is there something about it that she can tell that he's a robot and not her son?" To me, that was like one of the red flags. I'm kind of with you guys that I don't necessarily really think he's a robot. They could be red herrings, but like I felt like that was like too big a parallel to ignore.
Right.
So, it's got to be two timelines, and it's already episode 3, you guys. We're almost halfway through the season. I'm kind of like, I'm kind of wishing it would move along a little faster. But it'll be worth it, I guess.
Okay.
It's always worth it.
It is, yeah. Okay. It will be, yeah. So, all right.
Well, I guess that's about it. Yeah, maybe we can just really very quickly talk about Vagrant Queen before I got to take off. So, did you like it? I liked it. I think it's kind of different than a lot of the shows. It's definitely got a lighter tone, and I think I like how it's like purple. Like all the colors are different. It's different than usual, but I'm not so sure about there being so many like puppet aliens. I don't know. It reminds me of Farscape, which I could never get into, but I've also wanted to try watching since then. So I don't know. I think like I want to see another episode, but I think it looks like it could be pretty good. What do you think?
I mean, I didn't really like it at first, and like it, by the end of the episode, I liked it better. I had to remind myself, first of all, it's a pilot, lower your expectations, but I also I think it's clearly low budget. I mean, the special effects, the CGI, and the practical costumes are pretty low budget. Like, you know it's low budget when the actors, like, have a hard time pronouncing through their masks. Like, those two guys in the opening scene where Alita is, like, scavenging, and those two guys come up, and I'm like, oh, they're having control. Like, it's low budget, and you know, it's like,
that didn't really bother me though.
It bothered me because like sci-fi used to be so low budget, crappy stuff all the time, and they really brought some money in recent years. And we've watched some shows like The Expanse, like Dark Matter, like some other shows that we've seen that really are higher quality. And then I was like, whoa, this is like a low budget show. Let me finish. Maybe the pilot episode, sometimes they don't spend money on the pilot, and maybe you get
that's true.
More in coming episodes, right?
That's true.
And so maybe that doesn't have to be, maybe you have to get used to that, right? The second thing.
But, I mean, it's a silly show. To me, it was okay and it worked.
I think
go
it's
ahead,
too silly.
Thing.
I think they were stretching too hard for the joke too often, and that sometimes the humor felt kind of forced to me, and they were trying too hard for like a snappy one-liner all the time. I get that they're inspired by Star Wars, and they're inspired by, you know, she's definitely inspired by Han Solo. She's Lando Calrissian. She's Captain Mal. You know, she's inspired by the rogue, you know, the lovable rogue kind of character we've seen in so many space stories, but I felt like the characters around her there were just too many one-liners that were kind of dumb sometimes. And if they cut like a third of them out, like the two thirds of the good ones would land better, I think, for me.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out more once we see another one. If you watch it, I'm going to watch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's another in a, you know, it's sci-fi is really committed to strong female characters, which is nice. And she's a and of color, right? And she's you know, she's a woman of color also, and clearly she might be gay, she might be bi, but there's looks to be a female romance brewing, as we discussed, right?
Yeah, potentially.
Like the two
all right,
women
well, yeah.
seem to be.
Yeah.
yeah. So anyway, it's okay. I'll watch it again, but I hope it will. I hope some of those things will get worked out.
Yeah. Well, usually the you know the second episode gives you a better idea what the show is going to be
yeah.
like. So we'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Well, sorry, I get a jump, but
that's okay. Go take care of your family.
Okay.
Take care.
Have
talk
a good
to
night.
You soon, Jamie.
Have a good night, Jamie.
All right.
Sure. Thanks.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So, two shows down. That leaves us only Manifest left tonight, AJ, to talk about.
That
I think.
Is correct. Just Manifest.
Yeah, Manifest. So, Manifest. Oh,
Manifest.
Manifest. Oh, Manifest. What are you doing, Manifest?
Same thing with the last time.
Get on our nerves. it was.
Well, what
you
got
know,
on your nerves tonight, Karen?
Michaela and Zeke and Fonvi for sure. A lot of people got on my nerves. I was surprised. So TJ's leaving the show after cheating death. TJ's leaving the show. It looks like for like he's going to go to Egypt, right? TJ didn't annoy me.
Well,
I thought it kind of made sense. Now he might. Now he's in love with his 16-year-old girlfriend.
TJ made sense, but as soon as he said it, I was like, oh well, next week's the finale, so he'll be gone during the off season, and then you know, episode one next year he'll come back with answers.
To come back with all the answers. He'll be like, oh, I'm back. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's
that's
not,
possible.
Yeah. And it was funny. I said, when Olive got mad at him, I said to Artie, I was like, he's going to ask her to go.
Yeah.
And then he did.
Yeah. Yeah. So Olive is going to graduate high school. So she's like 17 now, I guess.
Yeah.
This show is moving really quickly. I thought Michaela was kind of like all this emphasis on Michaela. Like, I don't really understand why she was refusing to marry Zeke at the end, because I'm like, I guess she thought she would refuse to marry Zeke and force him to continue treatment, which would really be a horrible thing to do. Right. She wasn't not going to marry him because she loves him and wants to be with him and wants to marry him. But she's like, I can't do this. I don't want to like give up, but like, that would be horrible to be like, I'm not going to marry you. And I don't think he would do it. I don't think he would keep like, this is basically a person with a terminal illness who has decided they don't want to like, you know, take a painful treatment anymore, which, you know, is a real thing. Would she do that? I don't know. I thought it was really like, I don't know, selfish and dramatic of her. I mean, if you don't want to marry him, don't marry him, fine. But it seemed to not, not make sense to me. Yeah, go ahead.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and I agree.
okay. I don't need to convince you. I can stop convincing you.
What threw me was, you're going to make him fight. She's not going to marry him and make him fight, keep trying. He's going to figure this out in 24 hours because you guys have been saying all day he's dying for 48 hours.
So
what are you going to pull? What magic rabbit are you going to pull out of your ass?
Right, in 24 hours.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on now. And again, you know what it is? Poor writing. I mean, the actors are doing everything they can. I mean, everything they're doing is believable. That just doesn't make sense. And you can't put that on the actors. It's the writing. I mean, I don't comprehend what they're trying to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Choices there were a little. So I have to complain off. So there was some good stuff, right? Like, I thought Jared was kind of, I mean, for Jared to say he would come to her wedding. Jared was great, and he's like, old Jared is back. Like, jerk Jared was undercover Jared, and, like, normal Jared is kind of back. And I kind of thought, like, okay, this is how it's going to go. She's going to marry. Like, he can afford to be the good guy because Zeke will be dead in 2 years, and then he gets another shot at Michaela, right? Like, he can, like.
2 years.
Yeah. Did I say 2 years? I meant 2 days. Yeah, he's going to be dead, and, like, Zeke's about to die, right? And he would, like, be able to – then we could see, like, next season they could put those two back together again. So Jared was good, and some other stuff was, like, not bad. But I also thought these criminals are ridiculous. So these criminals they were, like, three guys cooking meth in a basement, and then they turn out to be, like – and one guy was, like, in high school, and now they're some sort of amazing criminal enterprise – who can beat up two the Rikers Island bus. If that was, like, really how the Rikers Island bus is, like, every criminal would be roaming around because that was, like, the clown car of Rikers buses, right? Like, in 2 minutes,
yeah.
These doofuses, like, overpower these two guards. I was like, what? You don't unlock the door and come. What are they doing? What are they doing, right? I don't know much about criminal enterprises, but these guys seem kind of ridiculous to me. Do you agree?
I do know this. I do know that any transport, I know the minimum of guards on the bus is 3 or 4. Okay?
There was only two.
There was the driver
yeah.
and the guy sitting at the gate. There should have been another guy at the back of the bus at the very least. And I'm pretty sure there's usually another guard walking up and down the aisles the entire
time. I mean, there was essentially only one guard because the driver is busy driving.
Driving, exactly.
Yeah. So there's basically one guard, and then they did the old fake out six, I'm having a seizure, which the long-haired guy seemed to, like, not be in on it. He seemed to genuinely believe that guy was having a seizure.
No, he's just such a tweaker that he's very believable as being dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'll buy that. But I find these criminals to be, like, and then they manage to, like, come back and, like, kidnap Cal to make Michaela get their stash back. So I guess there's a bunch of meth and evidence that they want, which isn't meth. Like, couldn't they just easily cook up another new batch of meth? It's not hard to make. I mean, I don't make meth, but I think it, like, this is why you're not allowed to buy cold medicine, right? You buy a bunch of cold medicine and add, I don't know. Like,
well,
seems like
I,
a
I
lot
know.
Of people
I haven't,
can
I haven't
make,
made, I haven't made meth recently, so I don't really remember. but the worst part is the show is so telegraphed. Okay. Cal's
yeah.
like, I'm going to go out
yeah.
bed and light these bad boys up. And then he's out there, and he's twirling around, and he's facing the street. And as soon as he turned around, the minute he turned around to face the house for no reason whatsoever, I
mm-hmm.
said, oh, he's totally getting kidnapped. You know,
here come the shadows, yeah.
You have a show with a really great concept, and there are some good things. But the writing to get to these places is so god awful at times, and I'm getting to the point where I don't really like watching network television. You know, I mean, and NBC is the worst. We've seen it with them before. I mean, Revolution should have been this amazing show. It should have been the next
yeah.
big hit, and it was
yeah.
the next big dud.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, there are other things that like so. There are things that should have happened that I could maybe. Let's slide. Like, okay, when a New York any police officer arrests some really bad criminals and they vow to take revenge on you, and then when they escape, doesn't someone call you and say, by the way, those guys that vowed to kill you are on the loose,
well,
so maybe, like, be careful.
Well,
right?
there is a possibility that nobody has any friggin' clue that they escaped yet.
Yes, you're right. You're right. I did for a while there wonder if they were going to bust into the wedding and like, so I was running through scenarios like,
dumb.
Do they bust into the wedding? or do they kidnap, like, are they going after Mikhail? Like, I was wondering, in some way, does Zeke, like, sacrifice himself to save Cal or Michaela because Zeke is going to die anyway, and then he gets this brilliant hero's death, right? So I was like, that could happen. And it could happen yet, I guess, right? I would rather that happen than Sanvi come up with the cure at the last second. So Sanvi, we had this whole side storyline of...
I'm afraid that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Sanvi, she's going after the Major. Dun, dun, dun!
Where did that come from, right? That came out of, like, nowhere. All of a sudden, and I guess she's not crazy anymore from injecting herself. Like, she was only crazy for, like, one episode or two episodes, and that went away, which I thought was a major reason why Zeke gave up on the treatment was because his doctor was nuts. right?
Well, it was part of it.
So, yeah, I mean, she now she's like, okay, I'm going after the Major. I'm bringing it to the Major, which is crazy, and, you know, Vance will never let her. But it won't really bother me if she finds a clue at the last minute, partly because a cure, partly because I don't really like Zeke that much. I think Zeke is, I don't think of him as a B character, as not like a main character. And I think he's really boring without any personality. And like, I don't think he and Mikhail have chemistry. And I don't really see why they're together except, okay, he's conventionally good looking. He always looks like he just rolled out of bed. He always looks kind of dirty and disheveled. And he's boring. He's boring. And I just, they're together because the show put them together, not because of any like real reason that I can see on the screen. He's boring. Is it me?
Well,
I find him boring.
Not for nothing. Nobody on the show has any chemistry.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's the best of the bad chemistries?
I guess, yeah. Yeah, there's not really any chemistry on this show at all.
I don't mind Zeke. I don't even know what I was going to say.
Well, I said he's boring. And so I was suggesting that would be a better death for him, to sacrifice himself since he's going to die anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than to have Sanvi suddenly come with the cure in the last 24 hours of his life.
I feel like Sanvi, she is going to find the last minute cure because she's going to track down the Major. And that's how she's going to get it, because apparently the Major's had a breakthrough.
Yeah, because the Major is not only like a military genius and a spy; she's also a brilliant like geneticist or something. So I think the reason Sanvi was going crazy was because she turned off the callings, right? Like her cure to change the genetic code like took away the calling from her, right? And then she was going crazy. And the Diary of Al Zuras or whatever that book, right? The book that tells the story of how these guys like wanted to stop having the visions and then they went crazy. But she's not crazy anymore because she's not taking doses or anything anymore. I don't know. She's probably going to find a cure and solve. And I mean, so we have this big, I wonder if Cal could be kidnapped for a while. Like, I feel like kidnapping Cal and then returning him in one episode, like kind of wastes the opportunity to drive a wedge between Michaela and Ben. Or is a 24-hour kidnapping going to be like long enough for that? Like these two, they probably have the best chemistry of any two characters, the brother and sister, right? Like they have, and they're very, very close. Partly because of what they've been through, but I can see that they probably were close before. He's going to be mad. Ben's going to be really mad because it appears that the reason this is happening is because Michaela ignored a calling. Maybe, right? The calling said, like, the calling warned her off this arrest, and now it seems like the calling maybe wanted these guys to blow up in their meth house, which seems weird. That doesn't really seem like what the calling does. I don't know. Do you believe that? Do you think that's really what it was about?
No.
I think they're misinterpreting the calling.
They misinterpret every calling.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's the premise of the show.
until the actual moment when the calling comes to be, they're like,
oh, they never.
And
yeah.
Then as soon as they figure it out, they're like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
Every time.
And
every
this week's
time.
Calling was bad. This week's calling was kind of bad.
Calling makes no sense to me. But, well, they haven't figured it out yet. The plane blowing up.
Well, yeah. Ben thought the calling was to help him. Okay, it's ridiculous that he would find his mother's wedding veil in a thrift store, right? That's just crazy.
Yeah.
But he kind of thought the calling was leading him to the veil as a sign to Michaela that she should marry Zeke, which in itself, like, shouldn't be necessary. But, like, why would the calling give that example of the blowing up plane? Like, when the calling could have, I don't know. Like, I don't,
well,
the calling's
yeah,
not
I
gone,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Well, yeah, no,
yeah.
Because he had it again.
And then he had it again, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But the thing is, actually, that brings me to the highlight of the episode for me. Seeing Vera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah.
And it was funny.
Right?
Artie goes, that guy looks familiar. And I looked at him a second and I was like, really? You don't know who that is? And he's like, is that Vera? And I was like, yeah, that's who that is.
I know. I couldn't recognize him at first either. I'm like, who is that guy? And then I realized he's like an opposite character. Like, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always, that was fun to see him, and it took me a while also. That was the highlight of this week's episode, yeah. But, like, that guy has a bigger role to play, I think. First of all, they didn't land that actor just for this, maybe this one tiny role. I feel like maybe this actor has a bigger part.
Yeah, maybe.
And I feel like that calling is not done. Like, the calling wasn't just about making this guy feel better. That, like, when is the calling ever just about making a person feel better? It's always, like, to unite you with your long-lost son or to so you can get a heart transplant or something. Like, the calling is, like, serious shit usually. Saving someone's life. And then he had it again, yeah. So the calling's not done. But, so anyway, there's good potential story in an estrangement. So I guess it wouldn't be, like, the show has to always have Michaela be really estranged from someone she loves. That seems to be, like, her lot in life. It's like every season is Michaela's having, you know. But her ignoring the calling and then Ben's son getting kidnapped is kind of a good – it's kind of a good setup, I think. Although, I think Ben kind of agreed with her defying the calling. Like, I think Ben kind of agreed that you don't just let meth dealers go. Like, maybe, like, what did the calling mean, right? I don't know. I think it will come to, I think we'll find out. I think this is a show that ties it up nicely with a bow at the end. And
yeah.
You know, I don't think we're going to necessarily have a huge, huge cliffhanger. I don't know if it's been renewed yet.
I don't know. I know Lock and Key has been renewed, though.
Yeah, Lock and Key has been renewed. Yeah. That's the only one I know of. I guess we're done with Manifest this week.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Manifest.
I do, too.
I
complain about it every week, but I like it.
There are things that kind of keep you in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good show, right? I mean, the concept is still really interesting. Like, the underlying mystery is still engaging me. Even though the characters act like idiots and I want to punch them, I still want to find out, like, where the plane was and what it's all about. And the Major, and Vaughn is a very interesting character to me, right? And I still want to know. Like, they're keeping me on the hook with the mystery, even though the characters are driving me insane. And the writing,
that's problematic.
Yeah. So, Well, we have to enjoy it while we can, because we're going to get a whole bunch of shortened seasons this year. So I'll be glad to see one through to the end. And wait and see what comes in. By the way, so one of our favorite shows, well, what used to be one of our favorite shows, but we struggle with, The 100 is coming back for its final season, right? In May.
Yeah,
and that is that's in the can. That is not going to be shortened. That whole show is finished with production.
That's good.
So we'll get that when it comes, yeah. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, I guess.
All right. I guess that's it for this week. I think next week we have the same setup, same shows to cover next week. And then in 2 weeks we'll figure out what our spring schedule is going to look like going forward.
Sounds like a plan.
What to watch. Okay. All right.
Have a good night.
Take it easy this
week.
Have a good night. Talk to everyone soon. All right.
All righty.
Well, thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. Bye-bye.
Yep. Night.